Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this youth ministry. Lord, I thank you for where they're going as a body. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before and speak to them. I don't take it lightly. I treat it with a high honor. Father, use my mouth as your instrument for the next few minutes. Let it touch them, pierce them. Father, let it cause change and inspire hope. Let it build their faith. Father, I thank you for every opportunity I have to speak for your people. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so for the first scripture verse, and I hope you all have a Bible or your phone is updated because it will be smoking by the time we're done because we're going to be hitting some scriptures. First scripture is Luke 6:48. I got three people over here that are excited. All right. Okay, Luke 6:48. And I'm coming from the New Living. And it says, it is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, and we had some floodwaters earlier, let me just say. I was about ready to swing by Home Depot and start building an ark because it was taking a while to get over here. It stands firm because it is well built. Title of tonight's message is The Stand. That one's referring to it stands. But tonight's message is The Stand. And here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to let you know right now, right off the bat, we're having an altar call as soon as I'm done. Okay? But here's the key. You all get to decide whether you're coming up. And here's what I mean by that. The rest of this message I'm going to lay out in a question format. I'm going to propose questions to you that over the course of the last few years, whether from the time I was in 1440 all the way till now, and I'll continue asking myself these questions for the rest of my life, are questions that I have to ask myself in regards to whether or not I'm actually standing and believing on whatever it is that I'm standing for, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's change taking place in just the world around me. I looked at the word stand, and I like this definition of it. Where to put it? A stand is an interruption of normal activities. We're going to interrupt some normal activities tonight.
Come on.
Okay. So I was thinking about it. I'm gonna grab this stool. I'm gonna sit over here. We're gonna get kind of personal. This stool's kind of high. I'm not that tall. Okay. Y'all ready for the first question? And again, these aren't questions that I'm just dropping to y'all just because I thought of them, okay? These are questions that literally, from time sitting in the very seats that you're sitting in, I had to ask myself. Because no matter what it is, no matter how old we are, no matter where we are, it doesn't matter whether you're a teenager now or it's 30 years down the road, you're always going to have opportunity to stand for something. Yeah. You hear me? You're always going to have opportunity to stand for something. But if you choose to stand for nothing, you will fall for anything.
Yeah.
Okay? So here's the first question I'm going to ask you tonight. And I'm going to say it as if I'm asking it to myself. Am I more interested in being equipped or entertained? And that specifically is to when you're coming to 1440. That was one that I asked very early on. Are you more interested in being equipped on how to stand, on how to walk, on how to live, or are you just wanting to be entertained for the evening? Entertainment will last you for one day. Equipping will last you a lifetime. Go to Ephesians 6. Any super kids in here know where I'm going with Ephesians 6? Any idea what I might be talking about here? Any guesses? What are we going to talk about in Ephesians 6?
Honor your mother and father.
No. Okay, come on. What else is in Ephesians 6? Armor? Who said armor of God? My sister, of course. It's because she was taught well. Okay, I'm going to go to Ephesians 6, and I'm going to start, I believe it's verse 13. And this is from the Amplified. First thing it says, stand, therefore, hold your ground. Having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, that's not a word you hear very often, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Okay. The main thing I want to point out is the stand. That whole chapter is lining up, putting on the full armor of God. And most of us have probably read that. But then he says, now stand, therefore. Okay? Are you more interested in being entertained for an evening, or are you willing to be equipped on how to stand for a lifetime? Okay? And here's what we're going to do as far as altar call goes. I've got 6 more questions I'm going to ask you. 6 more. If at any point in any of these questions, that's a question that makes you go, oh, I've asked that, or 2, I have no idea how to do that, you need to come to the altar call tonight. Okay? Whether it's standing for a situation or you just don't know how to do it. There's only so much we can do in the, I got 16 minutes. 16 minutes. But again, you have a decision to make tonight. You can either walk out of here and be entertained, or you can walk out of here and be fully equipped. Okay? So if you want to be fully equipped, that altar call might just be something you might want to take part of that, okay? It'll be something interesting. All right, second question. Y'all ready for the second question? Am I looking to the word first? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why would I ask that question? Why would that be an important question to ask myself when I want to, whether it's regarding healing? Why would it be important? Anybody? Come on.
Because the Bible says healing comes. The world doesn't always say that.
No. But I was thinking about it. I have a good way to put it to y'all, okay? Why do we put the word first? Trying to live a godly life, or even what the world refers to as Christian, without the word of God, it's kind of like this. It's like taking those 10,000-piece puzzles. How many of y'all like puzzles? Okay. Yeah, I know. It's not a popular thing, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Take a 10,000-piece puzzle. Take the lid off. Throw the lid away. Never look at the lid. Take the pieces. Throw it on the floor. Now put the puzzle together. But you can't look at the lid. Can't look at the picture. Here's the thing. You may get a couple of those pieces to fit together, okay. You may know a couple of verses, and you may know how to put them together. But you'll never actually see the full picture without the word. Okay? Why? Because the word is your instruction manual. It is your picture. The goal is to be like Christ. But if you never look at it, if it's not the first thing you look at when there's opportunity to stand for something, you're going to be on the floor digging through pieces, looking for corner pieces, trying to piece it together, hoping that the colors change some way or else this puzzle's never getting put together. And then about 15 minutes later, if you meet, you walk away, I'm done with this. And then more than likely, my mom and my sister will walk over, put the whole thing together in 10 minutes, and I'll be frustrated. Am I wrong? I'm going to point you. Am I wrong? You put the puzzle together. I know what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Third question. Y'all writing these down?
Yep.
Okay. Have I prayed? How many of y'all have a situation right now? Raise your hand. You need to tell me what it is. Just raise your hand. Something that you have an opportunity to stand for right now. Okay. Have you prayed about it? Have you sought the word on it? Good. For those of you that may wonder, why is prayer so important? We hear it all the time. Where'd it go? I looked at this quote, and this is what I was looking for. There we go. It's a quote by Billy Graham. Everybody ever heard of Billy Graham?
Yes.
Okay, just a little bit. If you've not heard of Billy Graham, you need to come see me afterwards. We need to have a talk, okay? Billy Graham said this. He said, heaven is full of answers to prayers that no one bothered to ask. You don't think prayer is important? I'll keep this because I'll lose that. You don't think prayer is important? Go to Daniel 6. Everybody ever heard of the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Ooh. What did he get put in the lion's den for? Praying. He put specifically praying. They wrote a law that he's not supposed to pray. What's the very first thing he does as soon as they write the law?
Opens the window.
He goes and prays. The audacity of this guy. We just wrote a law, and the first thing you do is go and pray. But it says it's because it was what was customary for him. Daniel made prayer such a big part of his life that even when they wrote a law about it, he said, I don't think so. I know the significance of prayer. And what's funny is it was so significant to him that even the king knew how important it was. Because the king, when he went to go to the lion's den to see if Daniel might be alive, maybe, the king was talking about, has God Almighty, the one whom you serve, saved you? And Daniel's in there like, hey, long live the king. I'm here. I'm good. Why? Because he prayed. He made prayer important. He saw the importance and significance behind it. Would the outcome have been the same had he not prayed? No, because he never would have been in the lion's den. But it would have affected his ministry, and it would have affected who he was. Daniel was at a point in his walk, and he had seen too much to know that prayer, not having prayer, was not an option. It was too important. Okay, so have I prayed? What we got? I got 16. Somebody added minutes to that thing. I mean, that's okay, but it's 16 minutes about 6 minutes ago. Okay, number four. Am I allowing fear to set in, or is my faith locked in on God's promises? Now, notice the pattern to this. When I'm talking about God's promises, there's no way you're going to know God's promises if you don't look at the Word. Okay? You can't. You're not going to know it. It's kind of like watching soccer and not looking up the rules on Wikipedia, which I do. Okay, let's get it right. I mean, soccer's got more rules than anything else I've ever seen in my life. Red card, yellow card, blue card, green card, high five card. I don't know. Okay, that's what it's like for me. I have to look up the rules for soccer online, or else I have no idea what's going on except for when they go goal and then somebody scored. Unless we end in a draw to Portugal and I'm throwing stuff all over. Don't go. Never mind. We're good. We're good. Back to message. Am I allowing fear to set in, or is my faith locked in on God's promises? The scripture for this was Isaiah 54:14. And this is from the Amplified. It says, "You shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness and conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction." I think somebody need to hear that. You make a stand, you will be far from oppression and destruction. I don't know who needed to hear that. Far. No oppression, no destruction. I don't know what circumstance is. No oppression and no destruction. Destruction is not in your future. You hear me? Oppression and destruction. "For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you." And then 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a what?
Spirit of fear.
But of
power, love, and a sound mind."
Oh, y'all said power, love, and a sound mind. We've heard this for years. Listen, if this is boring you, you're more than welcome to go sit on the back row again. If you just want to be entertained. I'm serious. I don't mean to be mean, but I'm serious. You want to know how many friends I've seen turn away and walk away because they refused? They refused to look at the Word. They refused to pray. They got more focused on the circumstance that was going on around them, and there are very real circumstances. But when it came down to it, when there was an opportunity to make decisions, guys, they ran the other way. You hear me?
Yes.
Got to make a decision. Okay, you're 14. Do you know how to pick out lunch? Do you know how to pick out what you want to eat? Then you know how to pick out what you need to believe.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, where were we? Number four?
Five?
Okay, this is the one I remember the first time I started dealing with myself about this one. I was 18. I just left 1440. This is the question I asked myself. Who am I fighting? How many people in here right now have a situation that you need to stand for because you're dealing with another person? Okay. You are not fighting that person. You might be yelling and fighting at that person, but your fight is not against that person. Okay? That's important. That's very significant. Scripture for that, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Oh, here we go. Matthew 28:18. I'm going to read this first. It says, "All authority," this is Jesus talking, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Why is that important? Because the enemy you're fighting, he actually has no power. He's none. He has none. Anybody ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth?
Yeah.
And not just because he has kind of a funny last name. It's a good thing he was a mighty man of God, because he probably heard about it from that name. This is a book I've been reading about his. This is a quote. "The best thing that you could ever have is a great trial." What? It is your coming into inheritance. Voice your position in God, and you will be surrounded by all the resources of God in that time of trial. Mm-hmm. Shout, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and you will have the best time on earth. Whisper it, and you won't. We miss the grandeur because we lack audacity. Does 1440 lack audacity?
No.
"Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world." If you will voice God at any time, you will find that he will be greater than any power that is around you. Go back to Ephesians 6. I'm going to sit on this one for just a minute. Because in the midst of circumstances, it's very, very easy to lose sight on who's actually won. You realize you're fighting a battle that's already been won, right?
Yes.
You realize that? I know that may sound a little, well, that's easy for you to say. You have no idea what's going on at home. I don't even know what's going on at home. I know it's already been won. Again, this is a situation. I remember, I'll never forget it. I was 19. I was going to Tarrant County College in downtown Fort Worth. I was at the Trinity River campus. And we just finished with class. And I went with a friend. We went over to Razoo's because I liked fried gator tail. Who said yes? Who said yes? Yeah, okay, it's good, isn't it? Okay, anyways, back to the story. We sat down for lunch, and he was asking me some questions as far as what was going on over here at the church and what was being taught. And I'll never forget, he looked at me, and he said, how did he phrase it? He said, "Blake," he's like, there's just too much going on. You don't understand my circumstance. How can you possibly believe that this is what was going on in your life? I remember I looked at him. And I didn't have a clue what to say. And what do you answer to that? He had some serious stuff. There's some family stuff going on. There was stuff that he was struggling with. And I looked at him. I'll never forget. I said, "Man, I've just seen too much. And I know too much. I've seen too much. And I know too much." Where did that come from? That came from the Word. I know too much because I would have read in the Word. I've seen too much because I've taken a stand on certain things in my life. See, taking a stand will create your own testimony. And it will keep you. You know? And I watched, that was one of my buddies that he never had the audacity to believe. He never made a stand. He never did. And the things that were struggles continue to be struggles to this day. But that's not us. You hear me? Say, that's not me. I'm audacious. I run to the word. I'm quick to hit prayer. And I know I've already won. Okay, let's do number 6. Oh, yeah. This is the one I don't like. Am I willing to be corrected? Oh, no. Yeah, there's an organ in the background somewhere. No. This is a couple years ago. There were certain things I was getting really frustrated about, and I was going to the Lord, and I was praying. You get answers when you hit prayer. And the Lord said, "Go to Hebrews 12. And I do not like reading Hebrews 12. You want to know why? Because it's basically like a giant spiritual spanking. It's the worst. Go to Hebrews 12. We're going to read it, of course. If I have to read it, y'all are going to read it. All right? I didn't like it. Y'all are not going to like it with me. Okay, go to Hebrews 12, and this is verse 11, and I'm reading it out of the Amplified. It says, "For the time being, no discipline brings joy." Duh. "But seems grievous and painful." Yes, it does. "But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, a harvest of fruit which consists in righteousness, in conformity to God's will, in purpose, thought, and action, resulting in right living and right standing with God." You want to have some right standing with God? You know what that's? Do you want to be able to wake up in the morning and be like, "I'm not only righteous, I'm in a right standing with God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I have a relationship with him. And this circumstance that I have taking place later this afternoon, this is nothing because I've taken my stand. I'm telling you guys, it's a big difference as opposed to waking up in the morning and wishing you'd pull the sheets over your head and hit the snooze button 20 times, never wake up, maybe the day will disappear. Because what's going on is not fun. But maybe there's some correction that's needed. What? No, you don't know what this person did. This person did this last night. They're yelling at me like this. They did this. This person did this. You have no idea what's going on, right? You don't know. You don't know, okay? You don't know. If I could get a buck for every time somebody said to me, you don't know what's going on, I could buy a car. I could buy a car right now. It'd be awesome, okay? Maybe I'll make that a precedent if I ever sit down with people and they want to talk to me. Like, if you say, you just don't know, I want a buck. I could have 10 bucks by the time I'm done with the conversation. Because that's the easy response. It's not about whether or not other people know or not, guys. It's not even about whether or not you're right or wrong. Whether it's with another individual, whether it's something in your body, whether it's something that's taking place financially, whether it's something you're struggling with in your own mind. Are you willing to be corrected? I'll tell you right now, I wasn't at first. I was not happy. It took me 6 months to start working on some stuff. Stuff that I just needed to change. I got to a point where my temper was really quick. It was really, really quick. I wasn't doing crazy stuff or anything like that, but it was a pretty quick temper. I mean, it was pretty quick. You know, it didn't take a whole lot. I had to work on that. And it took correction. It took seeking the Lord. It took going the Word again and praying over it. And when I found something that told me to do something differently, and I want to do that, you know? Or when you're talking to yourself, like, listen, I got angry because so-and-so said this last night. They said that one word, and that was it. It's over. Game over. It's going down now. You don't call me that. That's happened. You try working in a grocery store, and somebody comes up and calls you a filthy, dirty liar over $2.99 of pizza. You got to be kidding me. Is the pizza really that good? Oh, I was mad. I went back in the back. I probably put a hole in the box somewhere. I was not happy. And I remember somebody looked at me, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was just upset. And like, you're 19. It's okay. God, man, really? Such an opportunity to be a blessing. Such an opportunity to be a witness of my Lord and Savior and what he's done in my life and the changes taking place. But instead, because I wasn't willing to be corrected when I had the first opportunity, I blew it. And now I got to go and seek the Lord and ask for forgiveness for the people that saw me and make it right. Because I wasn't willing to be corrected first and foremost. Again, not a fun topic. Still not my favorite chapter. Don't get me wrong. But I need it. You hear me? I need it. In order to make a stand, sometimes I got to be willing to correct myself. And it's not fun. Better go to the orthodontist. But it's necessary. Okay, now number 7. Now we get to get the one I really want to talk about. We're past the bad one. Not the bad one, but the one just, I don't want to talk about. Okay, this is all crumpled up. Okay, I'm excited now. We'll get to the good one. Go to Joshua chapter 1. I love Joshua. Anybody ever read about Joshua? Joshua in the Bible? Anybody ever read about him? Anybody heard of Jericho? Anybody know anything about the Israelites? The whole thing? That only sort of important thing that took place in the Old Testament? No big deal. They crossed the Red Sea to get there? No big deal? No? Okay. No big deal. Okay, it's cool. All right. Don't worry about it. Don't think at home. It's cool. All right, Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 6. What's the very first thing he says in verse 6? Be strong and courageous. Okay, question number 7. Am I choosing to be strong and courageous? I remember I was in here one time, I was 1440, I was 15 years old, and we had a guest speaker come in. And awesome service. I think it was like a 2-hour long service. He ministers a great word, and he started ministering to every single person here, laying on hands, speaking in their lives. And let's be honest, how many of us have ever sat in church? You may be sitting there right now, and it would be totally awesome to go and somebody come and lay hands on you, tell you how to solve your problem, what you're supposed to do with your life, how you're gonna do it. You have the whole plan mapped out, and it's just this awesome thing, and everything solved in one altar ministry. Okay. Seriously, there's only like 6 of y'all that ever thought that? Because I've thought that a few times. Let's be straight. Like, you're sitting there with your problem, like, if so-and-so could just lay their hands on me, do like some Jedi mind powers, and I'd be good. It'll be good. I can walk out. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Anyway, so we're all up here. I remember exactly where I was. I was right here, okay? And there's like a crowd of us. And he's ministering. This goes on like an hour. And finally, it's down to me and one other guy. I'm the only one standing, right? So I'm getting kind of excited. I'm like, oh, man, I'm last. This is going to be awesome. I'm, you know, total in impartation. I'm going to have plans. I'm going to know exactly what I'm supposed to do with my life. I know where I'm going to do that. I'm so pumped. I'll never forget. I'm standing right here. I'm, you know, one eye's closed. Hands are open. One eye's open. Like, when's he getting over here? And I remember he came over. Y'all reliving the moment. He came over. He got about right here. He looks at me and goes, and he looks down, and I had, anybody ever heard those little rubber wristbands that had the one word on them? Y'all remember those? Anybody? I had one that had courage on it. It said courage. He looks down, and he goes, what's that? It's courage. He goes, and walks away. I waited for over an hour, and all I got was courage. And walks away? Oh, I was so mad. I was not happy. I was like, you got to be kidding me. What am I supposed to do with one word? Courage. As it turns out, a whole lot. It takes courage to do what we're talking about. It takes courage to make a stand. Be strong and good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He's talking about going over the land of Israel. Only be strong and very courageous. That's twice he said it. This is the Lord speaking. Told Joshua twice. Like, you think, if the Lord directly come to you and said, be strong and good courage, would that not be enough to be like, hey, maybe I should be strong and courageous? God Almighty just said this. But no, twice? Really? Like, you didn't get it the first time? Was it not clear enough for you? Be strong and of good courage. Where'd it go? Very courageous. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Here we go, a third time. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm thinking courage and being strong was of great significance for Joshua. What's actually happens is, like, 3 chapters 4 in Deuteronomy 31, Moses is talking, and Moses tells him, be strong and good courage, like 3 or 4 times. Why was it so important? Anybody got any guesses? Why would he say that one phrase 3 times? It was important. Why was it important? Why? Nobody? Yes, sir.
Because he needed it to break down the wall in Jericho.
He needed it. Not only, and it wasn't a request. The Lord commanded him.
Yep.
Now, you got to be strong. You be strong and good courage. Yep. But he said, if you do this, you'll have good success. What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word success?
Money.
Of course, money. Yeah, we're thinking Bill Gates success, right? Like, I want, right? That's not it. That's not the only thing. Don't you want to know what it's like to be successful in your life? What if the person or situation you're dealing with you suddenly had success in? What if it, instead of being your greatest weakness, it was your greatest triumph? What was the greatest struggle is now your greatest testimony. Is that not success? I think it would be. I think it would be as much success as money. As great as money is. But I think it'd be way cooler for the circumstance of the person that you're dealing with to be able to walk back in 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks, 2 months later, come back and be like, we're best buds, or that circumstance is dealt with, or that thing that I was struggling with, it's no longer a struggle for me anymore. Look at Joshua 3:5 real quick. I wasn't sure I was going to do that one. Joshua 3:5. I'm going to show you what strength and courage sounds like. We just read in Joshua where he was told it three times. And he had an opportunity to not do it. If you want to know what it sounds like out of a man who was finally operating in strength and courage, it's Joshua 3:5. And then Joshua said among the people, "Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us." That is strength and courage, guys. That's the result of it. That's what takes place when through godly correction we allow strength and courage to develop in us. Most people don't. Again, like I said, you got a decision to make tonight. What was the first question? Anybody write them down? Are you interested in being equipped or entertained? I'm asking you.
Equipped.
Second question? Am I looking to the word first? Are you going to look to the word? Three people?
Yes.
Again, how many people have a situation that you're standing for right now? I'm not sure about that because I only heard three people. Y'all may have circumstances taking place, but you may not be standing for anything right now. Is the word important?
Yes.
Are you willing to make it a priority?
Yes.
Will you stand on it?
Yes.
Okay. What was the third question?
Have I prayed?
Have you prayed? Are you willing to get down on your knees and actually ask the Lord what to do?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
You got a lot of things screaming at you. I mean, 7 out of 10, it shows 7 out of 10 of teenagers have a TV in your bedroom. The pants are that thing's going on. Our generation is averaging 15.8 hours a day in front of some sort of social media. You sure you got time to take a minute and pray about it?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
Even if it means putting that thing on airplane mode?
Yes.
Where nothing happens? Okay. What was the fourth one?
Am I allowing fear to set in, or is my faith locked in on God?
That was a long one. Is fear making decisions for you? Maybe it is. But not after tonight. Time to stir up that faith on some things. Next question. Somebody wrote. Am I willing? Is that the next one?
No. Who am I fighting?
Who are you fighting? Are you fighting the person that you're fighting with right now?
No.
It may seem like it. It may sound like it. But you're not. There's a real enemy out there. Ephesians 6 talks about how we wrestle. Actually, let me go back to it. Ephesians 6, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the masters and spirits, the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. What? Bottom line, you're fighting somebody that's already been defeated.
Yeah.
Okay? Christ said he went and he has all authority, all of it. He's already lost. Satan is lost. Now, he's trying to test you. He's trying to prove to you that that's not the case. I'm telling you, you make a stand, you will see otherwise. Okay, now what was number 6? My favorite. Am I willing to be corrected? I know everyone whispered that. Am I willing to be corrected? Better way of putting it, are you willing to correct yourself? Oh. I mean, it's one thing when, like, your parents come to you and they're correcting you. And you're be kidding me. You know, you're in your room, like, this is terrible, I'm not doing it. It's another thing to be like, I'm gonna teach myself to be correctable. I'm gonna look in the Word and I'm gonna correct myself. I'm gonna let the Word of God correct myself. Ooh, that takes some courage and some strength. Let's be honest. How many friends do you know? They're like, hey, I have an idea. I'm struggling. It's okay. I got this, guys. I got this. I'm gonna go correct myself. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Be right back. But you know what? I've had to learn to do that. I remember like 2 weeks ago, there was something going on, and everyone's in the office, and so-and-so was cussing up a storm, and they're mad about this, and I was getting all worked up about it, and I was like, and I had paperwork, and I took the paper, and I threw it down the desk, and I was getting frustrated. And like, what's wrong? And right in that moment, I knew what was going through my head. I was like, oh, I want to say something. And I looked at him, I said, give me 5 minutes, I'll be right back. Walked around the corner. I had to go talk to myself. I had to go remind myself of the Word. I had to make stand. It's not easy. I'm crunching paper. It's not easy. What was number 7?
Am I choosing to be strong and courageous?
He's choosing to be strong and courageous. It's a choice. It's a choice. Music team, you guys can come on up. And prayer team, y'all can go ahead and come on up as well. Y'all go ahead and stand up. Okay. So I know tonight was kind of listful. We had some lists we went down. Wasn't any hooting and hollering or shouting yet. But here's the thing. I wanted to give you guys a picture. I wanted to give you all an idea, just some simple steps on how to do this. How to walk it out. Because I don't know every circumstance in the room. We don't know. And there's things that every single one of us, every day, we have a choice to make on. But you have a choice. How are you going to stand? How are you going to stand, guys? How are you going to stand when that opportunity at school comes up and you know that it's wrong? Are you going to choose strength and courage? You'll find the Word on the circumstance? If it requires shutting the phone off for a minute to actually get quiet on the inside, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? I'm asking you. Are you willing to do what is necessary?
Yes.
It's not easy. Not always. It's not easy all the time, guys. But He is faithful. His love for you knows no end. And I don't care what lie you've heard, what's been yelled in your face, what circumstance is screaming at you right now. If you are willing to make a stand and stand on the Word, make a stand on what is being taught to you in this building every night. If you're not coming here just to be entertained, but you want to actually learn and know how to stand on some things, you will see the faithfulness of God. It's going to mean doing something uncommon. People Israel waited 40 years for a whole new generation to rise up that was willing to say, I don't care what takes place. We're getting over into that land right there.
Yeah.
Later on, Joshua goes to people and he tells them what the Lord said. He said, look, this is what the Lord said. And that new generation, that younger generation said, whatever He said to you, we'll do it. So you be strong, good, courageous. We'll follow you wherever you go. Are you that generation?
Yes.
Are you a generation that's willing to move in the things of God? Okay. Let's make a stand. Let's stand on what He's promised us. Let's stand on what He's called you. Stand on what's rightfully yours, because these circumstances are fleeting. And if you let it, there'll be another one tomorrow that'll try and kick you in the rear end. And another one the next day, and another one the next day. It'll become exhausting and wearing. But if you make a stand, if you have the strength, if you have the courage, if you have the audacity, if you're willing to challenge yourself, if you're willing to stand on the Word, if you're willing to get on your knees and pray, if you're willing to do what is necessary to see God in whatever the situation is, you will see it. He promised he would. And there is nowhere else in the world that they can make you a promise like that. So here's what I want to do. Pastor John, if you can come up here real quick. I'm not going to have a long, drawn-out altar call, but here's what I want to do. I'm going to call y'all up. Pastor George and Pastor John's going to go ahead and dismiss us. But again, if you're listening tonight and any one of those questions is an area that you're struggling with or you want to know how to walk out better, you need to come up here and find someone to pray with you. I'll be up here. We got the rest of our prayer leaders up here. Come, ask us questions, not just for prayer, but for leading in the Word. If you just want some more direction on some circumstances, come up. Tonight's your night. Like I said, tonight's a night of decisions.